Headliner Radio, the creative voice.
Okay, Tefla, huge warm welcome to Headliner Radio. How's it going?
Going good. It's Friday. It's the weekend.
Yeah. It's literally just the weekend, isn't it? Or in the UK, anyway. Please tell me the weather's nice in California, because we basically didn't get a summer this year. So I'd love to think it's nice and sunny there today, or is it not?
I would love to say the same. This week it's been pretty, the weather's been pretty dull, but today it's getting a little it's getting a little sunnier. So yes.
Oh, great. So awesome. So to introduce you, you're a dance music DJ, record producer, songwriter, signed to Afrojack's label. But can we just take it back to the start, like how you got into music, how that led to you taking it more seriously and getting into music production as well, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as far as the Afrojack part, I collaborated with World Recordings, with Afrojack's label. So I have an ongoing relationship with the team over there, Ricky Breaker. So yeah, shout out to them over there. I would say music for me as a DJ, I've been DJing professionally since 2011, 2010. They were probably 2011. My passion was mostly songwriting. Growing up, I was always intrigued with songs on the radio, from Kanye West to Jay-Z to Katy Perry. Listening to Max Martin and a lot of the Swedish pop music, and even the Swedish house music, from Lesso to Avicii. So I started off on that route as a DJ to learn about music. And about 2017, I started taking it seriously. Between 2014, I was doing it as a hobby. So I've just been hobbying. You know, you just get virtual DJ on your computer and make songs together, see what makes sense. So 2013, as Tefla, the artist, I started professionally, and here I am.
No, amazing. And can you just remember, like, in terms of childhood, can you remember when you started to become, particularly with dance music, when did that start to catch your ear? And when did you start making music on the computer and all that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was watching an MTV award show. I think it was 2012 or 2011. And DJ Calvin Harris was playing. And the moment I saw him on the stage, it just clicked. Like, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be a dance music DJ. And I know he started off as more of a, I would say like an indie pop act before he transitioned over. So my upbringing, like listening to, you know, a bunch of stuff on the radio, from the Neptune's Productions, Max Martin, Katy Perry, all those songs, really intrigued me, seeing how he was able to make crossover dance pop music with the ear catchy melodies and also with a hard dance beat. So that's when it started, about in 2012. I would say between 2014 and 2017, I was putting out remixes, unofficial remixes, just testing the waters, you know, just trying to build up a fan base. 2017, I put out my first song, Good Love. And so far, I've done over 15 million streams on all platforms. And one of my songs, Never Let Me Go, was on the Spotify Viral Charts in a bunch of countries for a couple months. And so since then, and then the other passion I have is for mixing music. So I would go on YouTube and watch a bunch of YouTube tutorials, see how a lot of mixers and engineers, like, you know, use different plugins. And that's how I got, that's really how I got involved with Waves, because I got the Waves entire suite of plugins. And it's just like a kid in the candy store. I just kept going, okay, I use this EQ, this reverb, this delay, it does this to the song, it makes it brighter, you know. And that's how it really started.
Yeah, amazing. I love that you mentioned, you know, Max Martin, those Swedish guys. I don't know how they do it. It's just hit after hit.
Yeah, something in the water.
Yeah, I'd love to get a bottle of it, whatever it is. And it's interesting for you, because I guess in recent years they have done the more dancey side of pop for their songwriting as well. And again, as successfully as ever, it's crazy, isn't it? So that's a big inspiration of yours, is it? That kind of really high quality pop music?
Yes, that's a big end. Even with a lot of my hard dancey stuff, it's still a lot of melody, because it all starts with melody for me. I hear the melody and Most of the songs I put out, I write the melody, the top line. Then I collaborate with a few, and that's how I even got connected with Afrojack. He remixed one of my songs. I wrote the melody, got the top line together, wrote the lyric. And my younger brother, Dane, I collaborate with him a lot. He's a great songwriter and singer. So we would write the songs together, and then, you know, we just send it out to different people, pitch it, and we'll just post stuff online. So Max Martin, yeah, is a great inspiration. Calvin Harris, Kanye West, just his passion, like the early Kanye West, like College Dropout. But I'll say the Swedish pop, like you said, it's something in the water over there. I really wanted to go to Sweden and just like study what they do over there, because, you know, from Max to Shellback to, you know, even the early Britney Spears stuff, you know, you can hear like the melody, the way everything just blends and goes from, you know, you have the verses, the pre-chorus, the chorus, and, you know, you get this really big hooks that just keep, it just keeps playing in your head over and over again. It's like, how do I get that type of high quality pop music and crossover dance where, you know, you can play this at the festival and you can also play it on the radio in the car driving, and it just gives you good vibes, which is what I'm really all about.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you should just go and spend a week in Sweden. Maybe it's like a lifestyle. Maybe just observe how they live and that kind of thing. I was going to say, I think it's a great thing with dance music. It's just the spectrum is so huge, right? I mean, you could go to a nightclub in Berlin, there'd be like techno music deliberately with no melody at all. And then on the other side, we've got you bringing as much melody to the table as possible. And it's a beautiful thing, isn't it, that there's so much different dance music for everyone. And yeah, it sounds like melody is a huge thing for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. When did the Afrojack connection come about? Was that quite early in your career? Can you remember? Or?
Yes, I'll say that was about 2017, 2018. I did the song. So I moved to LA in about late 2015, 2016. I was a club DJ for a while. I was DJing from on the East Coast of the United States, Washington, D.C., Maryland, New York, D.C. So I'll get flown out to do club shows. But that really just got my passion for mixing, because as a club DJ, you mix a variety of songs from pop to hip hop to rock, and being able to do these mashups and seeing how songs seamlessly flow together, that really just picked my interest, my passion. Like, okay, I really want to learn how to produce my own music. But DJing around the clock, you know, doing a day party from 4 to 8, and then doing a night party from 9 to 12, and another party from 1 to 4, you know, and then you now drive an hour back home, there was hardly any time to learn how to do music. So I just packed up from the East Coast of Maryland and moved over to LA 2015 2016, and then I got an internship with Global Music, that's Ellie Golden assigned to. And there I was mostly like a producer and just sit with the songwriters and in sessions when they work with the pop and R&B acts and just sit there, just soak up a lot of knowledge, learn how everything works in the industry. And then the Afrojack connection happened about 2017, 2018. It was a singer here in LA called Miku. I wrote the song. We wrote the song. I wrote the melody and did the production, and then he wrote a part of the song. And through him, we linked up with Ricky Breaker's crew, who's signed Afrojack. And Afrojack heard it that way, heard the song, and then his team, they remixed it, and they were all excited about it, put it out as an official release. So about 2017, 2018, the song came out on 2018, I think. Yes, that's when that happened, 2018.
It really sounds to me like you really spent a long time working on all this and paying your dues before you got that kind of breakthrough there. And I just think it's interesting, because with music producing and music these days, you can, you know, just get Logic or Cubase, whatever it is, on your laptop and start making music straight away. I worry that some artists might think like you can just really start getting success quickly from music, but I think it's important to understand that people like yourself really spend a long time getting to where they are, don't they? Would you agree with that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've even studied, even growing up, I would always be on billboard.com just looking at all the songs in the chart, seeing what album sales, what led to, you know, how artists get brand themselves, like with the album sales and what songs get pushed to radio, what songs do well on radio, mm-hmm. and then the streaming came about. So I've studied all the charts and see how all these artists they rise. And you would think, okay, like even a Billie Eilish, for example, today, you know, she's probably been working her craft since she was about 10. I think she's 18 now. So, you know, people would think like, oh, overnight, you know, she just became a success, but they have been working and it would take time, you know. And I think it was Ed Sheeran who said, write a song every day for 7 years and you improve with your craft. So yes, definitely it takes time. And for me, I love learning. So, and I'll just go back a little bit. 2018, I went on a UK tour. I actually came to the UK. I did a concert, I think it was in Liverpool. And I did a bunch of college shows too. So that was a great experience for me, you know, playing some of these songs live at these different venues. And then 2019, 2020, I sort of took a little bit of a break. Well, the pandemic happened in 2020, which is terrible for everyone. So, but I sort of took a break around that time. Because the dance music landscape was changing. Everything was getting more tech house and it was moving away from the melodic stuff that the Chainsmokers were known for, and is getting more into the tech house and the harder dancier stuff. So I just took a little bit of break, you know, just to learn because one thing, you can always go pay somebody on the internet to make a track for you. Like you said, the Cubase and Logic Pro. And sometimes it does happen. You might just get a bunch of loops in Logic, buy a bunch of sample packs and just put everything together and put it out to your fan base. And it blows up from there. But if you don't have a sense of direction or learn about everything going on, you might not, you know, it might not continuously happen that way because you need to have a solid foundation with the music. So for me, I'm always learning. And like I said, I consider myself a songwriter first because everything starts with a melody, but I love mixing vocals, female vocals especially, you know, I love to get the dry vocals and then just like put the reverbs on it, the delays and compress EQ. Like that's really what drives me besides like a live performance. So yes, I think I digressed a little bit, but yeah, to answer your question, yes, it takes a while to learn some of this stuff. And if you want to be really great at what you do, yes, you would take the time, even if you have to take a year, 2-3 years off just to learn the craft or to study the game, to understand, learn from people. You know, I think it's very important for your success and your career in the music business long term, you know, because some people just think over the next 6 months or 1 year, but I'm thinking 10, 15, 20 years from now, you know, if I make this one solid work of art and people will resonate, you know, there's some songs you still play today that were written or produced 25 years ago, you know, because they spend time in the studio, you know, with the Michael Jackson stuff or even the Rolling Stones or some of these really great acts or even go back to the 2010s, you know. So, yes, it's important to spend time to learn your craft.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned Ed Sheeran and Billie Eilish because I've heard Ed Sheeran talk about the 10,000 hour rule. And then I saw a clip of Billie and her brother Phineas in their studio, well, their parents' house years and years ago, and they have 10,000 hours sort of stuck above one of the doors in the house to constantly remind them of that. And it definitely sounds like you're proof of that.
Yes.
As well, for sure. Yeah, I just want to pick up on, you mentioned Liverpool there. Was it the Cavern Club you played at?
Yes, right? Yeah, the Cavern Club, yes. I played a concert over there with a pop, indie pop act, Dave Cabanda. So yes, I had my own set. It was great. It was a wonderful experience. Like the UK, and I was speaking to one of my supporters out in the UK yesterday. I guess I imagine that there are lots of festivals, but there's just a few in Leeds and some they play at O2. Creamfields, it just happened. Tiesto's set was amazing at Creamfields. I'm not sure if you saw that. So yes, I played at the Cavern Club and it was amazing seeing all the stuff. I'm a big Beatles fan too. So yes.
Yeah, I mean that's insane. Did we kind of try and like soak up that history, like we're talking about Sweden before, and obviously with the Cavern Club being kind of the unofficial home of the Beatles, right? Yeah, that must have felt so special to play there.
Oh yes, absolutely. I took a tour. We went all through. I think it's about 3 or 4 floors, and yeah, it was amazing seeing all the pictures and, you know, the great culture and rich history over in the UK. You know, and the Brits you guys just love. I'm guessing you're a Brit, like nationality.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah. So it was really great seeing the culture, and yeah, I've listened to most of the album. So yes.
Oh, did you get to do? There's like a Beatles tour you can do. Did you get to do that?
Within the Cavern Club.
Or it's kind of like a sort of Beatles museum, and they kind of take you around. Yeah, well, if you're ever back in Liverpool, I recommend the hell out of that, as well as the Cavern Club. That's there's like a recreation of the Cavern Club in this place as well, which is really amazing. No, that's so cool. And then I understand, was it Never Let Me Go? Was that kind of the song that took your career to the kind of the lovely stratospheric?
Oh, yes, that's Never Let Me Go, yes. I would say it came out 2018, but it was December 2017. Yes, I put that, so I think that song was the one that got the Spotify. It went viral in a few countries in the UK, it went the Spotify viral charts in UK and a few other countries. I don't recall the names right now. But yes, that was what started, really catapulted everything, and you know, got me to tour out in the UK, and I did a bunch of shows, college shows in the US that year, 2018 and 2019. Yes.
Yeah, no, amazing. So where would you say your fan base is mainly? Because you seem to have a big connection in Europe and with the whole Afrojack thing as well. It sounds like you come to Europe quite a bit. Do you seem to have a really big European fan base, or are you pretty international in general, would you say?
I'll say pretty international, but I do have, I'll say early, like the early, when I first started doing like the mixes and mashups, 2016, 2017, a lot were from the UK, you know, out of a million streams on Spotify, 500,000 was from the UK. So I even hired a UK press team in 2018 just to help push the song, because I saw, okay, it's resonating a lot here in the UK. And yes, I did spend some time. So I come to the UK a lot. So yes, I have like a cultural connection. I have some family out in the UK too. So UK is like third home for me in a sense. Yeah, Maryland, LA, and in the UK, yes.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, and I just wanted to say, I think we touched on 2020 a bit, but yeah, how was that for you? Because obviously the whole music industry has taken a hit, but it just feels really savage, in particular for people in the dance music scene, because your music is so tied to clubs and, you know, the big dance music festivals.
Yes, and it's...
Yeah, how's it been for you?
Yes, and it's a good thing you said that. 2020, the first, I think 2018, I did the tour, and then I came back and, you know, started redoing the music, just trying to get everything right. Took 2019, I did some shows, but it was a bit low key, you know, just learning. And in 2020, I got booked for my very first big festival in the US. And that was the first festival that got canceled because of COVID. So yes, and as a DJ performer, live music is like the bread and butter, especially in dance music, you know, because you have DJs with, you know, 3,000 Instagram followers, or not a huge following, but they're big in the festival circuits because it's like a rich culture over there. So that really, it really affected us a lot, you know, even up till now. And I on purpose did not reach out or even book any shows for this year so far, even as everything started opening slowly, just to keep, you know, learning a bit more and perfecting my craft. You know, I have a whole bunch of songs. I mean, if you think about the past 2 years now, when we went into lockdown since, I would say, March, February of last year. So I'm actually going to put out one song next week or in 2 weeks. And then from 2022, start rolling out more, and I'll be putting more content. So yes, it really, really, really hit us hard. And, you know, we're doing everything from home, DJ at home, you know, and then get running out venues, or even like having live performances. I did last year, I did a DJ set in downtown Los Angeles. It was on the rooftop. So we have like drones, and it's actually on my YouTube live in DTLA. So now we have to do things like that and rely on streams. And, you know, good thing I had like the good, I had the good foundation with Never Let Me Go and Good Love and a few other songs that constantly generate streams, you know, and some big influencers in the US picked up those songs to use as their in their YouTube videos and, you know, on their reels. So constantly, you know, that's been helping with generating income while everything is down. And of course, I have some brand deals as well. So yeah, I'll say that's been keeping me afloat. But yes, it really, really hit us hard. And I'm happy like things are starting to slowly open. You know, it's everything has just changed the landscape, even just music in general, you know, because nobody knows what's next. You know, now we have TikTok and you have songs that are being revived, songs from 25 years ago that are being revived today through TikTok. So it's like, where are we going to next, you know, as far as in the music scene, but especially like you said with the dance, 2020 was a really, really, really took a harder hit on us financially, just as an industry. Yes.
Yeah, it's just such a funny thing if sort of releasing a sort of absolute banger of a song that would normally get people moving and everyone's stuck at home. I mean, did you release So High? Did that come out last year? It was around sort of March time? I guess that's...
Oh, yeah, So High just... came out in... Yes.
Yeah, which just as we were going into lockdown, right?
Actually, no, that was this year, So High, in March.
That's right. That was still a tricky time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I just put that out there as a filler, you know, because a lot of my supporters on Instagram, they would DM me like, hey, when are you putting out new music? I said, okay, let me just put something out there, you know, just because even with the break I took was both from social media and everything, just to re-strategize and everything. So I put that out in March. It got supported by two, I'm trying to remember the name of the DJs. They're really popular in the European festival circuit, but it got... I'm sorry, I don't recall the name right now, but it got a bit of radio support and supported by some DJs. Yes, but yeah, I just put that out as a filler, you know, just to keep people dancing for the meantime until we can actually get back to doing shows.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've just had a few festivals go ahead in the UK, but how about in the US? You know, like the huge festivals like Tomorrowland, are any of them happening at all this year, or have they just all been cancelled?
I think EDC might be happening this month or October. I'm not sure. I have to check the website again. EDC might be happening, but a lot of them got canceled. A lot of them, I'll say about 40 or 50% of them still got canceled because in the US, every state has different rules as far as live events and gatherings. So, you know, states like Georgia or Texas, they're more lax than California. I think Vegas might be a little bit more lax because most of the clubs are open back in Vegas, you know. So, yes, probably 40 to 50% is still canceled. But, yeah, so it's a funny thing because once one gets reopened, everybody wants, because we've been stuck in the house literally for over a year and a half. So everybody wants to go out to the festival. So I'm hoping, I believe 2022, we'll see like a rise in more events and I'll start doing some more shows because I had a show in Seattle. I had to cancel because of COVID too last year. So I'll start booking more shows and doing more things around the country and most likely come back to Europe and the UK to do some more shows.
Yeah, because the way we did it in the UK, I think people had to either have a double vaccination or like do a COVID test the night before the festival. So have proof they don't have COVID-19, basically. But yeah, so it sounds like there's just way more red tape in the US, right? Because of different states and different... Oh, yeah. So yeah, that's really tough. But so looking forward to next summer then.
Oh yeah, next summer. Yeah. Yes. Even a little preview I put on my Instagram the other day, I put summer 2022 for the song and people DM me like, wait, why are you waiting until summer 2022 to like drop it now? You know, I think summer will be ending in what, 2-3 weeks officially, you know, but in LA, it's really summer all year round, except when we have rain, like occasionally. But I just feel like to get to really promote these songs and get the full width of it, it's probably best I wait, or, you know, just in general, just to wait till March, April, you know, next summer to really push it out there and let people get the full experience, you know, come out to the shows and really, you know, because one thing that really drives me is like at shows, seeing people sing the lyrics. And I remember at one of my shows in 2019, it was my song Good Love, and then I put the fader down and I could hear people in the crowd singing, and I was wrong, and I remember writing that melody. So that really, like, you know, really inspired me and got me moved, like, okay, I need to make more songs like this, you know. I need to I love it when, you know, I emotionally connect with the audience, because I know people driving home will relive that experience even much more.
What sounds really nice though is that you've taken this break from release the music and social media. And I guess like the worst case scenario would be you put out a song and everyone's forgotten you. But as you've said, there are people who have like messaged you, you've had loads of support and people saying, oh, please put out some new music. That sounds so nice that, yeah, it's good to be getting that support. Yeah, it sounds lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, yeah, before we talk about Waves, yeah, I mean, you just feels like you're someone who's done so much in a short career. Are there any other really special moments you wanted to let us know about from your career that I might have missed out at all?
That's a really good question. I would have to really think about that. But 2017 was a special year for me because that was when I first put out like my first, when I put out my first song as the artist Teflon. That's when I really started doing things, and then have a lot of fan support, just especially on social media, you know, and seeing that translate to real life, because then I come out to do shows, local shows, even like smaller shows in LA or in Seattle or Phoenix, where I had another concert show. You know, those are really special moments for me, just getting to meet people, you know, and then connect with them. And, you know, some people tell you their stories, like, okay, whenever I'm feeling down, I play these songs, or even some of the people who shuffle dance, and they'll DM me or in real life, like, okay, wow, I love that song or these songs. Whenever I want to shuffle, I play these songs. It's really, really hard to think of anything else right now. I think we've covered the brunt of it, because like I said, 2018, I did the tour, and in 2019 was more of a low key year. I think that's when I connected with Waves, 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I just been working on the craft, taking time to release stuff, but, I'm about to get, I just shot a whole bunch of content and about to start putting stuff out and, you know, rebuilding. I lost one of my Instagram page, last year. It got hacked. It was really horrible. So I had to rebuild that. And yeah.
Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that. That's so nice what you mentioned there about, because the thing is, when it comes to like, you know, getting millions of streams and having loads of followers on Instagram, it's all nice, but they're just sort of numbers on the screen, right, at the end of the day. But when you get those messages from fans saying, oh, this song really helped me when I was having a tough time and stuff like that. I mean, I can only imagine that must be like the most rewarding thing out of everything, I would have thought.
Yeah, that's the reason why I do it, because there's a bunch of artists like Calvin Harris or even Ed Sheeran, or even when I listen, like when I hear a song on the radio, I can always tell it was produced by Max Martin or somebody within that camp. There's just the catchy melodies, like the structure, you can tell right away. And it's just inspiration. Like these people, they spend hours and hours, you know, learning their craft, you know. I'll hear stories, like I'll see interviews. Max Martin will have the singer do that take 15 times, you know, like just that dedication and passion is what really drives me. So for me, it's like, okay, I could take some time just to learn, and, you know, and the social media part, it's for the fans, it's like, okay, hi, hello, are you alive? Like, where are you? I haven't posted in a while. So it's a bit, it's kind of, I would say not really helpful with the fans in the sense, because when you take time to create, then there's like a little space where they're waiting for you to come back. But the end result is always good, because when I get those DMs or those texts or those phone calls, like, look, this song really helped, you know? And like I said, I have the artists who I listen to the music. It just really like uplifts me, whether I'm working out or, you know, I'm going through a bad time. So yes, I would see 500,000 streams, or even if I have 2 million streams on a song, you know, if they're coming mostly from playlists, you know, and not to get technical, but with playlists is about probably like 1 to 10% of the people on the playlist actually really connect with you. Because when you get out of the big playlist, you know, it's just, like you said, it's just numbers on the screen. You know, people are just listening passively. They're not really actively checking for you. But when, you know, a fan just DMs you like, hey, I love your music. I listen to it all the time when I'm driving, you know, it's just like, okay. That's the reason why I do it, because I want to help. You know, I have that passion. I want people to feel good. You know, mental health is a great thing. You know, when you're in a good mood, when you have something to get you out of a rut, especially right now with everything going on, you know, it's really great to hear those kind of stories.
No, 100%. It's great that you keep helping people stay healthy in the gym as well with your music. That's really cool. We got another Max Martin mention there. Would you love to actually work with him one day? Do you think is that something you'd love to do?
Oh, that would be a dream. That would be a dream come true. Max, yeah, I think my hit list or my dream scenario would be Max, Calvin, Dr. Dre to some sense, even though like we have like different styles of music, you know, Dr.'s more on the hip hop side and I'm more on the dance side, but you know, just seeing how his sound changed entire generation of music like twice with the NWA, Eminem, like, you know, if you go back, and I'm a music historian, so I just like read and learn stuff. But yes, yeah, yeah. I know I keep mentioning Max and Calvin, but you know, and one thing I saw was it 2011, was a post Calvin Harris put on Instagram. He put the lyrics to We Found Love, and he had a caption like, this was the original paper when I wrote the lyrics. And I was like, wow, you know, he can DJ, he writes the songs, puts the melodies, he even sings it too, but I have a horrible voice. I can't sing. So I have to get somebody to sing that. Mm-hmm. So those are like my musical heroes for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I guess just to be in a room with them and you'd get to see how they do it. And that would just be incredible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Amazing. So I think you mentioned earlier that Waves, that's been a really big thing for you, like your workflow, your career and stuff. Did you say, was it 2019 you started using Waves and working with them?
I started working with Waves 2020. Was it last year or late 2020? I think it was 2020. Yes. Yeah. So I got connected with them. I DJed a conference in LA and there was a Waves rep over there. I had an intern who connected me with them. We worked, we got the contact, connected with Jitai, and much love to Jitai. He shows me a lot of stuff with the new plugins and I've been working actively with them. But I'll say I've been using the Waves plugins actively since 2017. And I'll give a backstory. The first song I put out, Good Love, I recorded it in 2016, December, but I was going to put it out in January 2017, but I spent 4 months mixing the vocal just because I wanted it to sound right. And everything I used was Waves plugins, from this CLA-2A to the Vitamin. I can list like 100 of Waves plugins. So when I got the opportunity to work with them, it was like a dream come true because, you know, like I said, you know, I mix everything. And I love that part because I sent the song out to a few people who mix a few mixers. And I wasn't really satisfied with the quality. You know, some had too much reverb. It was overcompressed. I'm like, okay, let me learn everything myself. Let me go on YouTube, watch a bunch of tutorials. I got the Waves suite. I think it was called, I forgot what it was called back in 2017. And then I said it was like 50 or 60 plugins. You know, I don't think, I'm not sure of any other, well, that was my introduction to mostly mixing. So I just went through everything like a kid in the candy store, you know. Put this on the vocals, put this on the drums, put this saturator here, put the H delay on this, you know, put it in the bus. And it's like, wow, this is great. And then I started working with them in 2020, January, February. And it's been great. You know, they keep me up to date on new plugins. I've done some stuff for them. I've created some presets for them. If you look at the, I think it's the O-Box, the Waves O-Box. I have three presets on the Waves O-Box. You know, when they sent it to me to review it, I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, the depth of what you can do with the vocals on vocals with the Waves plugins, it's, you know, it's just amazing. Even the presets they had on there already was just amazing. And then I spent hours just tweaking and tweaking like, okay, I love this side of music making. So, yes.
Yeah. So were you using like different kind of plugins prior to 2017? And then it just sounds like it made a massive, massive difference to everything and how you make music. Is that right?
Yes. I'll say prior to 2017, when I was doing everything as a hobby, I just used like the stock plugins and Logic. And don't get me wrong, they're really good too. You know, I think you can make a fabulous mix with just the like Logic based plugins. But, you know, I just had this desire, this like, okay, what are the industry pros doing? And I'll watch a bunch of Dave Consado videos and I see, okay, he uses this with plugin from Waves and he used this here. So I went and purchased it, downloaded it, and I'm like, okay, let me try this. And then, you know, when you go through the suite and you see like 50, 60 plugins, like, okay, all right, this is probably all I need for, you know, mastering, for the mixing part, you know. So yes, I use mostly like the stock Logic plugins. And 2017, I started using the Wave stuff.
No, that's amazing. I mean, in my experience with the like the Logic stock plugins, you can get good results, but I think you have to spend a lot more time kind of tweaking them. Whereas I think with these really high, amazing quality plugins, you can get really good results a lot quicker. Would you agree with that yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amazing. So, yeah, do you have like any kind of all-time favorites from Waves that you always find yourself going to using in all your different songs?
The SSL G compressor, that is, you put that on your master bus. That would just, it just like brings it alive. You know, your song could just be sounding dull, and then you put that on there and, you know, tweak the settings a little bit, compress, add a bit of gain, you know, set all the settings together. It just like punches it vitamin. When I'm done with the mix and I feel like it's needing like a little bit extra, I just put the vitamin on there. I've created three presets of vitamin. So I just tweak it, you know, my, widen, you know, either widen like the midsection, push more depth into the bass, and it's, you know, it excites the mix. So, vitamin to the C6 multiband compressor, that's another one of my favorite. You know, once I put in the EQ, I always start off with the EQ, and I put like a limited plugin just to make it a little brighter, just so, even though they always say live like -3 to -6 headroom. I always do that. Like I might do between 5, you know, 3 to 5 thereabout, but I start off with the EQ, you know, just like reduce, you know, just to get everything started up the right way. And then, you know, I put the multiband compressor from the C6, and even when you just drop it on there, you know, it just starts to sound good without even modifying stuff. But you know, you go in there, you like EQ and compress, and it's great. Like it has the EQ, it has a compression, it has the expander. You can do so much with the C6 compressor. And then on the quick, I think it's called a Quick Tech EQ. That's also amazing. I would just leave that on there. I might use the warm, I think it's called the track warmer, the very last preset on there. Well, I just drop it into my stereo, into my master bus, and it just starts to sound good. So those are some of the four. For the master bus, but for the mixing the vocals, H delay, I've never heard anything like it. It's just amazing, you know. And I would listen to a bunch of records from the 50s and the 60s and see how, you know, some of them have this analog sound. And you can get like a bit of that with tweaking the H delay or even like the tape. I don't recall the name right now, but it's the tape saturator with the Waves. I don't recall the name, but it's really, really good. But the H delay, I put out on a bus on for the vocal. I'm sorry, I do a parallel compression with the H delay, and automatically just starts to sound good. You know, tweak a bit. The H reverb too is also amazing. And then the R compressor, I always put that in my vocal bus. You know, R compressor and the R box, especially the R box. I would just use the Dave Pensado preset and put that on there, and already it starts, you know, to sound good. And then you just keep adding stuff, remove stuff. So those are a few. I can go on and on and on, but those are a few of my favorites.
Yeah. Oh, so those are like your favorites. Are there any ones that say in the last few months on more recent projects, are there any ones that are a bit more new to you that you've been experimenting with at all from Waves at all?
Yes. The CLA-2A, I've been trying that on vocals. It's really good. The O-Box, I use that for my dance stuff. I have a song, it's a really hard dance song, but the vocals are recorded like a regular pitch. And then with the O-Box, I just dialed it down and now it sounds really grungy. And so I use the O-Box a lot, especially when I want to layer harmonies for vocals. And the this one that just came out, and I was supposed to do some presets on that, but I was really busy working on stuff. I never got that. I think when they sent it to me, I had to be in Logic 10.5, but I had Logic 10.1. So we couldn't get that working, but I use that on the song that's coming out in 2 weeks. It's the vocal manipulator. It's like the Altar Boy version. And I hated that comparison, but I'm sorry, I forgot the name, but it's a vocal manipulator. So I use that. That's one of my new favorites now, because I've created two presets for that, but it has like a whole bunch of presets and they just sound good. They have one called Girlfriend Voice, and it they might tweak the format to -3 and then put the pitch to +2. And then you can go in there and you can see like the pitch, like the auto-tune, like the keyboard, and you can select what keys you want it to pitch with. So the design, and I'm probably saying it wrong, but the design of that is really good. The name will come to my head pretty soon, but I just don't remember it right now.
Oh, no. Well, congrats. You've listed them off so well. Apart from that particular one plugin that I'm really impressed anyway. Don't worry. I'd love to ask, say, if someone asks, like, what would be the best song of yours to listen to that has, like, your favorite, like, results from using Waves plugins, you know, like, your favorite production out? Yeah, which song would you want to point people towards?
Absolutely. And I'm sorry, I just recalled the name. It's called The Vocal Bender. Okay, I think it's cool. It's the latest release from them. It's amazing. I had the vocal. So this song, we recorded it in 2018 summer when I came back from Ultra Music Festival, but I didn't like certain things were changing, and it was leaving everything was going from tropical to more deeper stuff, and it wasn't fitting the format of everything. And I like to present songs in a way where I can easily market it. So I kind of like chilled out on that song. And I instead of having the vocalist re-recorded, I just create a second layer and I put the old box on it and dial the format down to beef it up. And it just sounds amazing. I'm going to put out a tutorial video on how I achieve that so people can hear. But I'm sorry, to answer your question, what song of mine? Whenever I ask fans, like, what are your favorite songs? They always go to Good Love and Never Let Me Go, because those were their introduction to the Tefler sound. And, you know, which is cool. But I'll say Stay With Me came out in 2019, and it's a more personal song for me because my parents, like, growing up, you know, you tell them you want to do music or you're interested in music, like, okay, that's not a career. And I think all that is changing now, because now you see social media stars get into music and making money from it. So they were always against that. And I was making a song and my mom was there and she heard it and was like, wow, that sounds good. It's a more emotional dancey song. It's about 105 BPM. So I'll say Stay With Me. It's probably one of my most personal work. And when she reacted that way, I was like, wow, okay. I never expected that, because even when I was DJing clubs and she saw a flyer or I think a video of me, you know, in the club, and people, she's like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you should be working a regular job. And that was how I paid the bills, you know, DJing all these nightclubs, all these day parties, you know. So Stay With Me is a very personal song of mine. I'll say probably the one people should listen to the most. If you just want to get good vibes and feel good, you know, Good Love, you know, it's also another one I'll say people should listen to, because that's the foundation of everything I did. And I'll give a backstory to Good Love. I did three versions of it because prior to that, when I was doing remixes and just mashups, it was mostly the dance stuff. And people didn't really know about the love for pop music that I had. You know, I never really put that out there because I was just working silently, passionately about that. So I had two other versions of Good Love. That one was more pop oriented, one was more pop oriented, like Max Martin, Katy Perry style of music. Mm-hmm. And then this other one, I know if somebody would say, let's count how many times Tefla's mentioned Max Martin's interview, you know, it would be crazy. But Good Love is one. I did three versions and I put it out first. And so I took it down and just put out the one that's out today, which is more of the future house, tropical house. Future house, tropical pop, because I felt that would connect more with the dance music audience. The other two were more pop. One was pop and one is a little bit more dubstep. And I like dubstep, but it's not really like my thing, you know, to do. I'm more melody focused. So I'll say Good Love and Stay With Me should be songs people should check out.
Oh, awesome. Thanks so much, man. And then just, yeah, final question. I think you've mentioned this kind of briefly, but yeah, I normally finish interviews saying how's the rest of the year looking, but it really sounds like you're thinking about 2022 as well. And but yeah, what songs should we watch out for and what kind of shows are in the pipeline? Yeah, all of that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Come Closer, it's called Summer Chill Mix. It's coming out in 2 weeks. That's the name of the song. It's more of like, and I'm going into like big descriptions of it, but it's housey, it's And I would say it's kind of like the sound people are used to, my fans, my audience used to hearing from me. But, you know, it's more for like 2021. It's more I've, you know, improvised with everything going on, but still kept my authentic, what I feel like my authentic sound. So that comes out in 2 weeks. Other people should check that out. It's a really short song. But for the rest of the year, I'm going to be putting out content. We just shot a whole bunch of videos. I'll put up a bunch of mashups, remixes, just unofficial stuff, just to grow the audience. Because like I said, I lost my first Instagram page. So I'm just rebuilding and building back up. And then I'll say from next summer, I will start doing more festivals and more shows. My Seattle show that got canceled, and I'm sorry to my Seattle fans. It was out of my control because the state, they shut down all the venues. We would probably do that back in April 2021. I might do something in December. We'll see how everything goes with the regulations over here. But I'll say, look out for Come Closer, Summer Chill. And I have like a bunch of exciting, like new music coming out, a bunch of exciting collaborations. I would rather keep the lid sealed on that for now, but some really, really exciting stuff coming out 2022. So yes, I'll just say, just stay tuned, just stay updated, and just look out for it. It would really good stuff.
Oh, that's so exciting. I think, did you mention there might be a Waves tutorial video coming? Because I think people love to see that after hearing you talk about the plugins.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm doing a few tutorial videos. We've recorded about 5 so far. So yes, I will. I'm doing a few tutorial videos on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram Reels. Because a few of my a section of my audience or on Instagram would DM me, okay, they're young DJs too. They're up and coming DJs. They want to learn their craft. They want to learn the craft. So any way I can help, use this plugin or put this in here. Don't do this in here. So I will give a few tutorials on some of my favorite Waves plugins that I mentioned. And I'll do some more tutorials on how I made certain songs and how I use some of the Wave plugins to sonically enhance the songs. So yes, people should definitely look out for that. It'll be coming out this month, October through the rest of the year.
Yeah, that sounds like absolute gold for any budding producers.
Yeah,
for sure. Teflip, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing all of that. Yes, amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, the pleasure's on mine. Thank you for having me. And yeah, I look forward to this coming out. And yeah, you have a great weekend, Adam.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Tefla. Cheers.
Headliner Radio, supporting the creative community.